Hello! Welcome to Professor Morley's Special Exam Guidance Podcast. Now, my experience over the last 15 years or so has been that actually what an awful lot of students want from a revision session for a unit is not information about the unit or guidance on different topics or how to approach questions or discussion of particular historical arguments or anything like that. Actually, what an awful lot of students want is someone to talk to them with the calm voice of authority, telling them that everything really is going to be all right. Doesn't really matter whether it's talking about the subject or talking about the format of the exam for the 17th time. What matters is the calmness and the authority of the voice. In fact, I could be reading the telephone directory for all the difference it would make. But the problem, of course, with that sort of revision session is it's a once-only opportunity. At the most, you get 50 minutes worth of me talking through the format of the exam in a calm, authoritative voice. And then, I imagine, the effect wears off quite quickly. And that's then the idea of this podcast. Whenever you need someone talking to you, in a calm, authoritative voice, telling you that really it is going to be all right, just listen to it through your headphones, breathe deeply, close your eyes. It's fine. It's only an exam. Just stay calm, carry on, everything's going to be all right. It's fine. It's only an exam. Just stay calm, carry on, everything's going to be all right. It's fine. It's only an exam.
It's only an exam.
Just stay calm,
just
carry
stay
on,
calm,
everything's
on.
Going to be all right.
Everything's going
it's
to
fine.
Be all right.
It's only
it's
an
fine.
It's only
it's only
an stay
exam.
Calm,
just
stay carry
calm,
on, stay calm,
carry on,
going
carry on.
Everything's going
everything's
to be
going
all right. Are you feeling relaxed? Good. If not, then, well, I suppose I really ought to offer some rather more practical advice. Focusing, I suppose, above all on what it is that we as markers are looking for when we look at exams, because obviously that's what you need to be providing us with. What you have to do is produce the sort of exam papers that we look at and think, yep, jolly good, no problem. So this is how you should be directing your revision, this is how you should be focusing when you get into the exam. I've got 5 tips, follow each of these, and things really should be. All right. So, number one, probably the most obvious thing I could possibly say, but experience suggests it's still worth saying. Answer the question. Not that hard, but time and again, it doesn't actually happen. Answer the question. Answer the question that is actually on the exam paper, rather than the question you wish was the exam paper. Answer the question in the way that it's actually phrased, not in the way that actually you'd have phrased it if you were writing your own question. Now, it's worth bearing in mind, the point of the questions we ask on exam papers is not to try and catch you out. We don't set traps. We don't sort of try and fool you into answering a topic in a way that you're going to sort of undermine your entire credibility or whatever. The basic aim of the questions is to give you an opportunity to show what you can do, to demonstrate your knowledge, to demonstrate your understanding, to demonstrate you see how everything fits together, all of that sort of thing. It's supposed to be offering an opportunity. Exam questions tend to focus on the obvious topics, the most important things you need to know about, and they do very often tend to relate to ongoing debates. So it should be that you look at the question and you don't just know what sort of subject it's talking about. You immediately can sort of connect up to your knowledge of what is it that scholars have been talking about? What are the big issues? What are the major books? In other words, what are the things that you need to demonstrate to whoever's going to be marking the question that you know all about them and you understand it? It's an opportunity for you to show your knowledge and understanding. Now, that does mean there is a certain amount of scope for you to take a question and sort of nudge it in the sort of direction where you feel most comfortable. And it is always the case. Questions can be answered in different ways. There's never one single right way of doing this. There's no sort of model answer, and we go through taking marks off anybody who doesn't sort of adhere to that. There's no correct answer. Different views are always possible. There's no one way. There's no list of things that you must include, anything like that. So, you know, you can take your particular knowledge of the subject and do a certain amount of, adjusting the questions so that you play to your strengths. The only thing I'd say, there are limits on that. I mean, questions can be reinterpreted or disputed. You can sort of have a first paragraph explaining how it's really not the correct question. But if you go too far away, then you do run the risk of being marched down for irrelevance. What is important, I'll stress once again, is that you do focus on the question. You don't just churn out sort of half an hour's worth of everything you know about that topic. You focus on what you're being asked, you focus on what is most relevant. And this has obvious implications then for how do you prepare to take the exam? Well, you want to be in a position that when you come in, look at the exam paper, you've immediately got a choice of topics, so you've covered enough different areas of the unit that you can sort of pick and choose a question that sort of suits you best, and that you can take more or less any possible sort of permutation of the question, all the different things that might be asked about a topic. If you've revised that topic properly, you should be able to answer almost any reasonable question that's set on that subject. Whereas if you go in sort of not just having, your one topic which you're desperately praying, please let there be a question on, sort of conflicts between pagans and Christians in the 4th century, or Virgil and Augustus, or whatever, sort of some sort of, basic topic. If you go in, you've got your clear idea of what you want to talk about, but actually you could only really answer one question on that, then actually you're in trouble. Second major bit of advice, support your points. Don't just make general assertions. So, when you're answering the question, try to provide different sorts of, ancient evidence, reference to modern scholarship. I mean, it's very, very basic. It's one of the ways in which an exam question, an exam essay question, is pretty well identical to the sorts of essays you write in assessed work. You need to support what you say. You need to provide justification for your statements. You don't just give a whole string of unsupported assertions. Where an exam essay is very different from an assessed essay is that you don't need to provide footnotes. You don't need to give quotations. You don't need the same level of detail. And it is not remotely sensible to spend lots of your time in preparing for exams memorising quotes, memorising exact references of particular texts, memorising very, very specific details of books and so forth. It's absolutely fine, and I would say it's absolutely advisable, to refer in more general terms. So, I mean, just to take an example, if you're writing an essay about something to do with sort of Cicero's oration against Verres, you would need to have very specifically exactly what's the passage, where's it taken from, and probably a couple of references to relevant secondary literature. If you're talking about it in an exam, it's absolutely fine to say something along the lines of, in Cicero's speeches against Verres, or possibly, in Cicero's second speech against Verres. And actually, that's fine. It shows the marker that you've got a decent idea. What's the relevant bit of evidence? What's the relevant text? You don't need to go beyond that. If, on the other hand, you're operating at a level of vagueness along the lines of, when Cicero attacked someone or other, or even vaguer than that, when some Roman made a speech against some other Roman, it's an extreme example, but that's unhelpfully vague. You want a sufficient level of sort of indication that you've actually got this knowledge. You just don't need chapter and verse. In the same way, in referring to modern scholarly work, it can actually be fine to talk in general terms. Some scholars say, or some historians argue, possibly preferable if you can give the name. So, as Kennedy has suggested, or something along those lines. Enough to show that, really, you know what the stuff is that's supporting your assertions. And essentially, were this not an exam, were you able to consult your notes and go and look things up, you could almost immediately provide the supporting material that's necessary. That's what we're looking for as markers, that you've got the knowledge that goes beyond a sort of a very vague, superficial idea of the subject, that actually you've got a sense of what are the foundations, what's underpinning these ideas. You need to give us enough of an indication to believe that you know this stuff. You don't need to provide all of the details. Third point, focus on interpretation, focus on engaging with arguments. The point about exam essays, it's really the same point as university study in general. What we as markers are interested in is not what you know as an end in itself. It's not your retention of enormous quantities of factual information. It's not, you know, have you got the 20 key points which we tick off on our checklist. What we're interested in is what you can do with your knowledge. How do you use your knowledge to develop arguments? How do you use your knowledge to engage with the arguments of other scholars, to offer criticism, to develop your own ideas, so on and so forth? So, you know, you need to show that you're aware of what it is that scholars have been arguing about. You need to show that you're aware of, you know, the different ways in which they interpret evidence. You need to show that you're aware of sort of underlying theoretical or methodological issues. And ideally, you need to start offering your own interpretation, or at any rate, your own take on the subject. And essentially, you know, getting the facts right is a start. If you get vast numbers of facts wrong, then that's obviously a bit of a problem. But it's only a start. You're not going to do especially well if all you do is provide a sort of a, you know, a bland narrative or description of the consensus on the topic. You need to get involved in interpretation and debate, and generally speaking, that's what the questions are asking you to do. They're trying to prompt you to engage with the issue. If you answer the question in the right sort of spirit, that should be fine. If you ignore the question, then almost certainly one of the risks is you simply don't engage with the right debates, you wander off into a vague narrative or vague description or whatever. And I mean, that just doesn't get you anywhere. It's not that it's massively wrong, it's just not very good. And you then get the sorts of marks which essentially say, meh. Advice number four, get organised. I mean, again, all of this should be blindingly obvious, but I think it's still worth emphasising. You know, plan your essays. Before you start writing, work out what are the key points. What order do the key points have to be dealt in? You know, how do you structure the argument so it's coherent and logical and flows all the way through? I mean, you know, basic things like, you know, sort of start off by identifying what are the key issues raised by this question. Work through those key issues, make sure you've discussed all the key bits of evidence and all the key historians, lead up to a conclusion which draws things all together. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's still taking a bit of time to start planning this, think through what are the things you have to say, how should you order them. Yeah, that's never going to be wasted. You're much better off spending 5 minutes planning your essay than an extra 5 minutes writing away in a sort of unstructured manner. And, you know, when you've structured your essay, make sure that you signpost it all the way through. So make sure that as someone's reading this, you're, you know, giving a clear sign which direction is the argument now taking. Why are you moving on to discuss this topic rather than sort of another topic? So that's enormously important. You know, plan your essays, even if only in your head. I mean, it's not that you have to write all of this out, but take a few minutes to think it through, to make sure you know how you want to address the question. And I would say plan the exam session as a whole. Again, it's blindingly obvious, but every so often people just don't do this. Make sure you get the right balance of time between different questions. You know, you don't want to spend two-thirds of your time writing one essay and one-third of the time writing another essay, because that other essay is always going to be substantially weaker than the first one. We mark on what we have in front of us. I mean, if we look at a sort of a question which is kind of, you know, one written side and obviously not finished, and we might look at this and think, well, hey, if only this guy had another sort of half an hour, this would be a completely brilliant essay. But we can't mark on that sort of potential. We have to mark on what actually is there to be marked. And that means, you know, if you get your timing wrong, if you don't spend enough time on one question, that's really going to undermine the entire exam. So, organise yourself. And I suppose the final thing is, I mean, don't rush. I mean, you know, this is partly about, you know, making sure you've got enough time, but it's about pacing yourself. Handwriting is actually quite important. Is the marker going to be able to decipher what you're writing? Now, you know, we do our best, I have to say, as markers. You know, if you've got something really illegible, well, you know, we will do our best to work out what it's saying, but there are limits on that. I always suggest, actually, that, you know, sort of imagine the worst-case scenario. The people marking your work are marking a lot of work. Every so often, it's sort of 10:30 at night, they're struggling through the last few exam scripts just to, get these finished because of the pressures of time to get these done and passed on to the second marker and work through the process and so on and so forth. If you're in that position as a marker, the one thing you really don't want is to have to struggle with trying to decipher a script that's basically illegible. It's entirely possible that the marker won't bother, that after a certain amount of effort, we'll simply say, well, look, I can't read this. It's a bit like the same principle of, we mark what we have in front of us. If we cannot actually decipher it, then we can't give it a mark. We can have a vague impression that, if only it were possible to make out what this student is writing, then it might be jolly good. But if it's that difficult, you're actually not going to get credit for your ideas or your information. So, don't rush too much, especially if you know that you've got a bit of a problem with messy handwriting. It's going to be better to write a bit less if it's going to be completely legible. In the same way, it's better to write a bit less if that gives you the time to make sure it's all, properly planned and structured. Whereas charging in, writing as much as possible, largely illegible, not terribly well organised, actually that's not a good thing. Quality rather than quantity. Item number 5, stay calm. I mean, yes, of course, it's very, very easy for me to say that, but it's unfortunately absolutely true. If you are properly prepared, if you come into the exam having done large amounts of revision, sort of focused revision, knowing what you have to do, good overall knowledge of the subject, good knowledge of the scholarship and so forth, then really there should be no problem. You just have to approach the whole thing calmly, draw upon your knowledge and understanding, go ahead and write the exam. Can't see the essay question that sort of suits you perfectly? Well, don't panic. Take it calmly. Read through the list of essays again. I mean, the good questions are not necessarily the ones that leap out at you instantly. Think through each question, think about what it seems to be asking about, and maybe sort of that'll sort of suddenly click. And you'll be able to think, well, almost it's not a question you've prepared, but actually you've got the knowledge and understanding to address it. Read through the questions. Make your choice carefully. Suppose you're writing the essay, sort of suddenly your mind goes blank, you can't remember a key point. Well, set it on one side. Pause. Think a bit. Maybe it'll come to you. If it doesn't, well, leave a space. Come back to it later. Either, to fill in the point when it's come back to you, or come up with a cunning way of not having to address that point. And obviously, don't forget to go back and fill it in. It looks rather strange if there is a sort of big blank in the middle of the exam script. But what you have to avoid is getting sort of caught up in the write as much as possible, just keep churning it out sort of thing. Take a measured approach, think about it, don't get flustered if you can't remember a particular point, just stay calm, and remember, it is the key point. We're not trying to catch you out. We really are not trying to subject you to cruel and unusual torture. We're trying to give you the opportunity to demonstrate your knowledge and understanding. Keep that in mind. Look upon this as a sort of, a positive opportunity to, sort of set out before us all the work you've done, all the thinking you've done, all the ideas you have. You should be fine. Just stay calm. So, just to sum up, remember Professor Morley's 5 vowels of power. A. Answer the question. E is for evidence. Evidence, support, all the things you need to back up your argument. I for interpretation. Focus on ideas, focus on arguments, not just description and narrative. Focus on what it is the scholars are arguing about. Focus on putting forward your ideas as well. O. Organisation. Blindingly obvious, extremely important. And then there's U for unflappability. Stay calm, stay focused, and it really, really will be okay.